This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. His job involves working with police officers to help them deal with the stress, the tough issues, and the awful events they're often exposed to in their jobs. Dr. James Dahm is the psychologist for the Cincinnati Police Department. His story is told in this month's Cincinnati Magazine, Police Action Inside the Minds of Cincinnati's Men and Women in Blue, written by Jen Ando. And Dr. Dahm joins us this afternoon, and you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Dr. Dahm, good to have you with us this afternoon.
Well, thank you, Mark. It's good to be with you.
Now, in the article, it talks about how you enrolled in Ohio State in 1967, but you dropped out a year later because you couldn't find a discipline that interested you. What was the turning point for you that started you into psychology?
Turning point actually occurred during my Navy enlistment when I was fortunate enough. I had a very tiny background in counseling, but they were looking for someone who might be available to help with a program to deal with sailors who were having difficulty with drugs and alcohol. So they selected me to be involved. So I got some training, and some of the trainers turned out to be psychologists. And at that time, I couldn't even spell psychologists. But when I sat down and heard what they had to say, and they talked about their profession, a light bulb went off in my head and said, that's what I want. And from there, that's what I pursued.
Now, you met Walter Lippert, who was the department psychologist when you were working for the Hamilton County Juvenile Court System. What was his influence on you?
Tremendous, unbelievably tremendous. I would say that in my professional career, by far, he's my number one mentor. I worked with him for quite a long time, and as he became more involved in police psychology, I was following right behind him. He was a man full of ideas, very creative, and since I was sitting in his right hand, all the ideas tended to roll in my direction, and I'd walk out of his office going, oh my God, now what am I going to do? Very busy man.
So Walter knew that he needed to find somebody to follow in his footsteps, and so he wisely went out and said, I want you to be my predecessor, and will you join me on this journey we're going on?
To his foresight was saying that basically sometime he was going to pass the baton, and I happened to be in the right place at the right time, thank goodness. And as time went on, some of the more complicated issues involved in police psychology he shared with me, and I took on more and more, and by the time he was ready to retire, I can't say I felt 100% confident I could handle whatever came down the pike, but he gave me plenty to start with, you know. So the sad thing was that he died right around the time that he was due to retire, and not only is that sad in of its own sake, of course, but in my field of endeavor, I wish I would have had him around to consult with as I became more acclimated. That was a very tough adjustment for me.
It was tough when he retired and he passed away not long after that, and that was a difficult time for you.
Very, very difficult, yes. Felt kind of lost. Yes, I did.
How would you describe the role that you play with the Cincinnati Police Department?
I would call it a labor of love. My role actually is to help them retire successfully. I want them to make it through their careers, to manage their stress well, to overcome any obstacles that get in the way of their success, to be there if they have any difficulties with their personal lives or professional lives, to do whatever I can to help them get through the tough times.
What's a typical day like doing this kind of work?
Well, I wouldn't call it a typical day. I always say, well, I get my schedule together, then I see what happens. Things come about unexpectedly quite often. The city doesn't really respect my schedule very much, so if a problem comes up in the middle of the day, if there's an officer who's having a crisis, then, of course, I drop what I'm doing and deal with that immediately. So it's kind of hard to predict, but there's never a dull moment, I can tell you that.
How difficult is it for the officers, though, in terms of the stresses and the issues they face on a day-to-day basis at work? How tough is it really to be a police officer?
Very tough. There is much to contend with in the day of a police officer. We have to remember that Even in their personal lives, it's more challenging because the department, of course, is a 24-hour operation. So we have officers working in the evening hours when they would love to be with their children, to be there to help them with their homework or take them to soccer practice. So they miss out on a lot there, and the spouses have to carry the load. So that's difficult. Then we have what goes on every day in their job. Their job is 100% unpredictable. They never know what may start out to be what we might call their typical day can within a heartbeat turn into something very terrifying. In fact, one of the common sayings is it's 90% boredom, 10% sheer terror.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join our conversation with Dr. James Dom, he's the psychologist for the Cincinnati Police Department, and his story is told in this month's Cincinnati Magazine, Police Action Inside the Minds of Cincinnati's Men and Women in Blue. What kind of reaction do you get from the officers, Dr. Dom? Are they, when somebody says, is this a case of their superior say you need to go see the psychologist and then they reluctantly go see you, or, how does that usually work? Or are they anxious to meet you and say, oh, yeah, I really need this gentleman's help?
Well, the vast majority of officers who come to see me do so voluntarily. They will call me to set up an appointment. I keep that confidential, of course. I don't call up their sergeant and say, guess who I saw today? So it's kept very much between me and the officers and families. I also will see people if a supervisor feels that it would be important or helpful for me to meet with them. They may request that the officer meet with me, and hopefully that'll work. There's been a few isolated occasions where people are ordered to see me. So that does happen. I've yet to run into an officer who absolutely was uncooperative. Typically, once they get to the office and realize that, you know, we're going to have a normal conversation and I'm not here with any hidden agendas, they usually open up. Now, there's a few occasions on top of that where there are fitness for duty evaluations, where maybe an officer is presenting some concerns that have brought to question their ability to do the job from a psychological standpoint. This does not happen often, but I do get involved in that as well.
Now, they're going through a lot of stress. Does that make this work stressful for you as well?
It can be. I have to pace myself as well as this can be expected given the type of schedule I have. And I have to look at my physical health and make sure that I'm functioning well and also make good use of my support systems, which I have fantastic support systems. And between all that, I try to keep my head on straight and be there for the officers.
So that doesn't sound like an easy thing to do, actually. It's a balancing act, isn't it?
It's a balancing act, but I wouldn't trade it for anything else.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can also email your questions to talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And what's the most important skill that you need to do your job, and why is it that the most important skill?
You know, interestingly enough, back in the early 70s, I worked under the guidance of a Korean War veteran, a double amputee, and he spent a lot of time teaching me to be observant. He always called me a defective detective. Finally, I learned to be observant, and I've noticed that when someone sits down with me, my antennas are out. I'm paying attention to what they say and what they don't say, what they appear to be, and what they're trying to present to me to try to pick up on a full picture of what's going on. And so I've found that skill to be very important. Plus, another thing is caring. You have to care about the officer sincerely. This isn't the kind of occupation where you go in and do it for the sake of doing the job. You do it because you care about people.
513-419-7100 to join our conversation. Let's talk with Sanjay in Sharonville. Good afternoon. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi, Mark. This is Sanjay, and thank you so much for taking my call and for speaking to one of the area's best psychologists on your show. So, how are you, Dr. Dom?
Fine, Sanjay. How are you doing?
Fantastic. So, I was curious if both of you could shed some light on what the top qualities are for having the top police officers in the area. What have you noticed, like, if you were to give us advice, as you know, and I know that it won't replace outside advice, but what would you say are the top qualities that you've observed in police officers, for example, for psychological hardiness or resilience?
Well, you just hit on one of them. We would call it an above-average ability to handle confrontations, provocations, antagonisms, patience, a lot of ability to tolerate and keep your focus on the task, not let your emotions get the best of you, remaining committed to the mission of protecting people, having the presence of mind, the vigilance to be observant, like I'd mentioned earlier, also is very valuable to officers. But they have to have that resiliency about them where if tough times come their way, they can bounce back quickly.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned patience because I did some security work when I was younger and studied criminal justice when I was in college. And one of the things I've always noted about police work is it requires an extreme amount of patience because you're not always doing something. Sometimes you're waiting for something to happen,
right?
Which can be as stressful as something actually happening as the expectation.
Very much so. It's very psychologically draining on an individual. Let's take the example of an officer who lives in the area where he might patrol or she might patrol, and someone might make a threat against them. Well, anytime they're out, of course, they're worried about, is that threat just somebody blowing off their events frustration, or are they really after me? That's always there. Even on the job, of course, you're a walking target out there. They're constantly concerned about that. If they don't want to become complacent, because then it leaves them open to more harm. So they have this hypervigilance that they have to exhibit every day, both on and off the job, and that can be very taxing on a person.
What stresses or challenges do police officers face today that are different or might be different from when you first started in this line of work?
You know, one thing that's interesting that's come up in the last 15 years, I would say, the technology has changed so much. It's amazing what's available, but it puts a lot of onus on the officer to make sure their in-car cameras are on. Now they have cameras they're wearing on their uniforms. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had to be videotaped doing my job every day, it would make me feel uncomfortable. It just seems like to me, you want to watch every step. You have to be careful. And although I know they do a fantastic job, anyway, it would just seem to be pretty tough to me to be watched so closely all the time or have all that, subject to review all the time. It'd be hard to do.
Yeah. You would feel like you were walking on eggshells.
Exactly.
As the old saying goes. What have been the most difficult times that you faced with the Cincinnati Police Department?
That takes me no time at all to answer. The most difficult time was the double homicide of Officers Pope and Jeter many years ago. I was brand new in the police psychology field. Dr. Lippert had passed away about 2 years before that happened. Maybe it was a year ago, but I was always rehearsing in my mind, what if that were to happen? And when I got the phone call at 1 o'clock in the morning that said, we have two officers down and it don't look good, I all my plans were out the window. I was on my way to Cincinnati. I went to the hospital, which was populated and overflowing with the key people in Cincinnati, the police chief and the lieutenant colonels, many officers, paramedics, and here's me standing there going, what do I do? And fortunately, we have a very active peer support group of officers who are there to respond. So we mobilized, and I had two other psychologists with me, and we were able to begin that very, very taxing and difficult time of trying to help everyone through the immense pain they felt.
Did you talk to a lot of officers during that time?
Oh, many, many officers, yes. Yes, we went at it for a long time, I believe. I'm trying to remember. I think it was at least 20 hours straight and then came back not too long after that. But all of that was spent with debriefings and individual contact and dealing with the slain officers' families as well.
Was the 2001 shooting of Timothy Thomas, was that also a difficult time for the department and the work that you do?
Yes, it was very difficult. All the turmoil that came about because of that, a very sad time in our city's history, of course, had a very big impact on the officers, and they had to find that ability in spite of all the turmoil to go out and focus on that job. It's already difficult.
The decision in Ferguson, Missouri is expected to come soon. Do you have any concerns about how that will affect our local officers?
I think our local officers, since many of them have been through a situation of civil unrest and a similar one, that they are prepared for the repercussions. I don't know if there's going to be any carryover here. The police would be far more able to answer that question. I think we're okay here. I'm pretty sure we are from the last I could tell. So I don't think it'll have a great deal of carryover. I'm sure there'll be a lot of interest, and there is a lot of interest in it, and it'll be followed closely, but I think we're okay on our end.
And do you feel like the tough times the department went through in the past, the shootings of the officers, the Timothy Thomas incident, do you think that made the department better prepared to handle any future difficulties it might face?
Most definitely it has. Yeah, a lot of work was done after 2001 to look at ways to improve relationships with the community and meet their needs in a more informed manner and a more, I suppose, well, there's a lot of ways to put that. Just a more of a partnership concept was introduced. Collaborative effort was the official way of putting it. And I think that has had a lot of positive impact.
The American Psychological Association didn't recognize police and public safety psychology as a true specialty until 2013, I believe?
Yeah, very recently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it took so long for them to finally recognize it?
Probably the main reason is we are a very small niche in a very large profession. Usually with any major city who has a large police force, you will have a police psychologist, so you can count up the number of major cities, and that's how many of us there are compared to several tens of thousands of psychologists who are involved in other specialties. So I would say probably that. We don't raise our heads very high. We're kind of quietly going about getting our job done in a unique niche.
Do most departments have just one psychologist on staff, or do they have more than one in the larger cities? Or
it's proportional. Yes, some of the larger cities, such as L.A. and Chicago, have far more police psychologists available than just one. But so far, we're okay as we are. I do have people helping me too, so we're adequately staffed.
There's been a few changes in the leadership at the Cincinnati Police Department. How do those changes affect the officer on the street?
It's very interesting. I keep track of that. You know, we for a long time promoted from within, and that brought the tradition from one police chief to the next. And in the last few years, we've brought in police chiefs from out the outside, which has brought in innovation. And it's been good on both ends. We got the best of both worlds. When you're new coming in, of course, there's a lot to learn about our traditions and how things are typically done. And we've had two very, very good police chiefs come in after Chief Starker retired, brought in a lot of fantastic ideas, and I've enjoyed working with them thoroughly.
In the article, you say you grew up ignorant of the police and were naive. Now, has being in this role been a real eye-opener for you in terms of what officers face on a daily basis?
It has been a tremendous eye-opener. I went from a very naive individual who grew up in a small farm town into this metropolitan environment where you see reality staring you square in the face, and you can't turn around and pretend it doesn't exist. You have to look into, unfortunately, the tragedies that enter people's lives, the misfortunes, the unexpected catastrophes, and the everyday problems. I mean, just facing the poverty that people live in can be very disheartening.
Now, do you think when you retire that you're going to go out and do the same thing that Walter Lippert did when he recruited you?
I have to. I would feel it's my obligation. I'm not saying that a very competent psychologist, which there are many, couldn't come in and do a wonderful job right off the bat, but I think I owe it to anyone coming after me to kind of give them an introduction and show them how things are done and tell them what to expect and show them how I do things so the transition can be smooth and we can do a good job for the officers.
Looking back over the years you've been a police psychologist, how do you feel about picking this line of work?
You know, it's funny. I can't say I picked it back when you were mentioning earlier about
Walter picked you?
Walter picked me would be a good way of putting it. Yeah, when I decided to become a psychologist, at that point I wasn't sure what area, and I didn't even know what areas they had to specialize in. And I met him at the juvenile court back in the 70s, and at that time he had just began to he began his exploration into police psychology, and the next thing I knew, he was doing that, and then I was seeing some of the officers for therapy, and it just built from there. But I would say I didn't have a long-term interest in it. It just it evolved. It came as I grew in my career and through Dr. Lippert's influence.
Dr. Dom, thanks for joining us this afternoon and sharing your story.
It's been a pleasure, and thank you for having me.
Dr. James Dom is the psychologist for the Cincinnati Police Department. Jen Ando tells his story in this month's Cincinnati Magazine, Police Action Inside the Minds of Cincinnati's Men and Women in Blue. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The Cincinnati Edition theme music was composed by William White. The producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier with help from Kevin Reynolds and Jim Nolan. The technical director was Rick Andres. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now next on 91.7 WVXU.